Good afternoon. I'm back with my strongest privilege today because I decided to make an extra program with my profound dedication to September 11th tragedy. This is Lena Life, and with my usual and today especially memorable thanks to BBS, who gave me this opportunity, and to all my listeners, to share and exchange thoughts, some emotions, and very special hopes for the future, for the world, for United States of America, and for those courageous people who lost loved ones and continue their just as courageous life as they deserve to be in it. Words often are not covering even close territory which one established with grief. And yet grief becoming one of the most powerful language of sharing human values, human hopes. And today is a day of reflection and remembrance of one who never thought of death, never thought of not coming back home, and yet lost their lives in their hearts with love and care for their family. I like to share a few thoughts of just a personal point of view and hope that I will reach more hearts and more souls that I hope to reach. Be very frank, I was not really putting that much professional effort and diligence to prepare for this program. I decided to be as sincere and as spontaneous as I can. And perhaps my own personal life preparation for this moment to share with you will be sufficient and will be enough to share with you what is important for myself, for my friends, and for people I have privileged to know who are living in New York, because I happen to be resident of this state. As you know from my previous programs, music is one of the most wonderful shelter I have. It will not be any exceptions today. I have, again, a new selection of very talented composer Julian Lambert, who composed his music for today's program with his own special memories of this horrible morning, when indeed he wasn't sure whether his mother is alive or not, because at that morning I was not at home and I was going to New York City. I like to share a few thoughts which will represents the highest point of humanity of people who courageously, as I said before, continue their life journey. And they give us tremendous sense of responsibility to deal with profound challenges which world is facing today. So we will not only deal in a language of wars, highly sophisticated weapons, very powerful military tactics, but we will try to match our intellectual capacity with those objects and make our intellect, our emotions, our humanity power is the most powerful weapon, which has any restrictions, doesn't have any borders, and certainly can be a moving force to connect people with different religious beliefs, with their cultural differences, with their educational pasts, into this union of celebration of human power, which certainly has no limits. And when I mentioned religion, I like to connect to one program which I've done perhaps a couple of months ago. It had to do with the history of beatification. And to make it in short, it has to do with a process when people are, according with Catholic Church, being sent to heaven. It's called a dead person's accession to heaven and capacity to intercede on behalf of individuals who pray in his or her name. This intercession of saints became extremely powerful tradition in Catholic Church. I strongly believe that every lost life is deserved to have this process, and I like to honor their life with a moment of silence, after which we're going to have a piece of music which called Meditation. Please honor this moment of silence.
Thank you.
continuing a thought and touching a little history. There is probably not another effect of such enormous shock which took place in such a short period of time. If one can think, just one morning changed and overturned the over few hundred years of United States of America with its well-established democratic society, with its total openness. And yet in this very moment, we've been shocked with so many bouquet of different feelings, one of which is fear and vulnerability. I cannot resist and jump to one very important, more than important, decisive, and most powerful member of the world, and this is a child. I'm going to devote a segment of this program to the children, their perception, and their abilities to deal with this tragedy. But coming back to us adults and a historic shock of this event, it's indeed a very unique in its magnitude event, where just one morning, just a few hours, turned the whole world upside down. We have many wars, and a lot of them just localized. Yes, we read in the news about them, watching television. Of course, internet comes very handy. But this incredible event did not need any news, any internet, because the whole air and whole dark cloud was so thick, so powerful, that it was not a single human soul who did not find out about this tragedy instantly. Coming back to our dearest families who are getting stronger every day, but also need our support, our understanding, an extension of our own souls. Here, I'm going to touch just one subject of reaching out for our own emotions, because knowing ourselves, we can help others. These people, particularly in their post-grief effect, would need as much as possible support system as they can get. They deserve it. And frankly, whatever anyone could share with them actually did express their tremendous compassion. I do not need to mention death of hundreds of firemen, policemen. The courageous activities which were conducted by medical personnel, politicians certainly tried to be as courageous as they could, but it is everyday moment of their life which counts. It is their worries about their children. It's these 60 babies which been born after this tragedy who never would see their fathers. They're the one who deserve, and they're the one who need to be remembered not only today, of course, and being remembered for these last 9 years, but they should be honored, and they should be taken as a model for the humanity of the world. They should be taken as a model for people who are not risking their emotional journey. Coming to one thought which I had today when I personally was participating in a much more personal, local local ceremony, which is very close to where I live. It's in Valhalla. They're a little bit ahead of Ground Zero because they already established a beautiful monument. It's done with elegance and taste. To describe this a little bit, it has 111 metallic straws, which represents amount of people which are died in our area. And number of people expressed their very powerful, warm, and personal emotions, saying that we can come here at any time we want, at any time we need. And it was done with a such, I would say, cozy feeling, so incredibly profound at the same time, their tears being the best nourishment for the best rose in the world. I had a thought personally that the center for victims could be established in New York City. And since there were 90 countries of people who died, obviously, it's self-revealing. An extremely powerful statement to what extent, indeed, international connection and reconnection should take place. It is said that a tragedy is like a wake-up call for our needs and our vision as a humans becoming so much sharper and so much clearer. So my dream is that this center will, in fact, reunite people with not only different religion points, not only from different education or demographic centers, but they will be reunited with their languageless abilities, just to look at each other's eyes and not to feel lonely. And now about the children. It is virtually unexplainable. Children communicate through the symbolism, and it is virtually impossible to imagine how much of a horror effect those children experienced. Perhaps not even greatest therapy can erase or sometimes even balance their reactions. Working with the children for many, many years, I would make my own modest suggestion to parents that perhaps not words, but perhaps just a communication through drawings. Ask your child to draw certain things which they've been dreaming about, because those children's dreams are filled with those pictures. And their colors, with just a simple crayons, with a simple piece of paper, can reveal so much in their soul. And they're so grateful. They will be so incredibly trusting to our love for them, they want to be protected. Those few moments with the children on a regular basis will count for quite a few hours, which sometimes we don't have, but they're always looking forward for those moments. To honor our children, and to honor especially children who have this courageous, totally uncalled for their sudden maturity and challenges, I like to offer another piece of music. Julian Lambert called it Children's Prayer. Please join us for this music. Thank you. and making link to this postpone effect, I'd like to bring a few points of international reaction, which was unfortunately not terribly revealed in our country for very well known reason and circumstances. We've been so overwhelmed with our immediate reactions. And yet I like to bring some points connecting to the thought which I expressed earlier, that the whole world was so shaken up. There was a, it was almost a paralysis in people's mind. They could not imagine how the greatest country in the world could handle such unexpected, greatest evil attack in the world. Because a lot of people felt that America is untouchable, and we don't have any reasons even to think, as many newspapers pointed out, to even suspect. There have been few episodes and few signals, perhaps few warning signs, but unfortunately sometimes we need a shock to be awakened. And that international shock was so incredibly powerful that indeed many European countries are faced their problem, their economical challenge, and they are, in a sense, being somewhat guilty that all this incredible load of tragedy came to only one country and came to such an innocent people. And yet the reaction was the most powerful and extremely diversified. In fact, it was almost like a mental revolution in some people's mind. It was a collision, it was a loss, it was misunderstanding. Religion played tremendous key point on that, because religion is the shelter. It's a heaven moment of belief, sometimes escape, sometimes reinforcement. But even religion was under somewhat attack, because it was such a complexity of the source of this attack. People could not understand the some kind of elementary logic. So whatever humanity achieved almost was ruined in this one morning. And yet after the shock, the intellectual power which I was talking about basically revived itself. And it happened quite quickly because of not only incredibly expeditious work which was done in the ground zero, not only because people did not fall apart, they continue working. They've been diligent to their children, to their everyday duties. But not only because of that, but because perhaps humanity had experience with previous wars, because humanity did have experience with totalitarian regime, with the collapse of communism, because all of these hugely diversified political and social events took place in a quite rapid schedule. So maybe that was somewhat a preparatory and thankfully somewhat a platform to handle this enormously powerful event. However, saying this, who can measure the emotions? And who can measure the size of the trauma? I personally believe that one would need a basis for life more than ever, like family, like friends, and yet social support system just as necessary. With all of that, I like to make a comment, which is very well known. In fact, I'm not saying anything new, but forgive me for being presumptuous. I feel as a human being, I have right to repeat this again. Religion should not be a self-serving weapon. It should be treasured for whatever an individual believes, needs, and respects. I'd like to offer Ave Maria on this note, because I cannot believe that there is more heavy music can continue my thought. Here is Ave Maria for all of us. This morning, we all heard the names of victims of this tragedy. And just the music of their names is so extraordinary. One doesn't need to speak each other's language. I call sometimes America is a languageless society. I use this term to my students, to my music students, and I would say that music doesn't know the language. So it's a languagelessly beautiful art. Those names, which being pronounced through tears and being pronounced with an accent, I myself guilty on that. But it just makes one that much more aware that every individual who died not only had a name, not only had his or her own character, but they've been incredibly selfless to give their life an everyday modest way. And just in a one moment, they became huge heroes. It is my another dream that it will be the book with these names and with the some dreams they had. Perhaps this center I'm talking about, which can be built in New York City, can have not only pictures of these people, but to have their family roots, to make people aware that they are just, speaking simply, regular people. But after all, what is a regular? This September 11th became so incredibly powerful for everyone. It's not just for the soldiers who went to the war. It's not just for special people who have dangerous professions or having some particular government goals. It's a people who are making our life different in every single day, every single moment. I'm not sure what we were aware before September 11th. To what extent huge role is on every individual that by performing our so-called small duties every day, we're making tremendous difference. It is my hope that the medical care which these people who courageously been in great need because of their duties in cleaning Ground Zero, that they will not only get this medical help by law, by moral standards, but they will get much more than just the medical help. They will get our moral understanding. And if there is some place for any kind of extra movement in artistic community or any other community, I like very much to hope that these people will feel open enough to share their thoughts, to express their desire for their children, perhaps to have an opportunity to go to listen to music or to be attended, because these people who are not feeling well cannot give enough to their own children. In a sense, they're living second tragedy. There's something I cannot speak competently enough because I don't know exactly details, but it looks as if we are going to have a law which will provide and guarantee medical help for gravely ill people in New York City. I'm one of the one of those who love volunteer work. I've been immodest and I would say sometimes I enjoy volunteer work more, perhaps than I should, because I cannot measure this by monetary reward. I think this psychology we should adapt towards these families. The school counseling and other support system being placed, and they worked quite effectively. But because we have these extraordinarily difficult challenges with the modern society, it's really not enough for those families who are struggling with present economy. And it is only right for them to expect more, to expect if not total, but the most of the commitment we can express to them. As I mentioned before, those children, future adults, future generations, they will show the model how to honor their parents. They will be the greatest model for showing the world that courage, wisdom, and strength are unbeatable. There is a long way to go dealing with conflicts, and there is a long way to go to deal with challenges which have been so unfairly and so cruelly hitting one of the best people in the world. And yet, as we all know, challenges makes us, any challenge makes us strong, but we have to be much more clear, much more honest with ourselves. And perhaps it is a good time in our country to approach spiritual values, intellectual understanding, development of our intelligence with much more stronger preference than just material goods. They are very important. They're playing a great role in our lives. Yet nothing can substitute our personal human integrity and drive to perform the best we can. To expect cooperation from someone we share our grief or our happiness. So I hope that this celebration of humanity, which is engraved in all of us by instinct, by desire, by religion, we should honor at a greater level, because this test, which we faced 9 years ago, even though we showed courageous and strong awareness of this brutal reality, but we are not quite yet found our balance, our emotional peace. 9 years is a long time. But America was existing much, much longer than that. In one sense, we don't have that much time because of the technology, because of such incredible speed and demand of our performances. Yet, I believe that these 9 years being extremely fruitful in realization that our duty are not something to take for granted. That to preserve the place where you live, you have to work that much harder. You have to show that much more awareness. It is always much easier to see what one wants and to see what one can have. To achieve the goal, however, takes a lot of sacrifice. I do not want to indulge in negativity, but there is a philosophical measure between negativity, reality, self-awareness, honesty. So all this bunch of qualities, I think today being augmented by looking at the face, listening to the names and watching these incredible tears of people who again impressed the world with their courage, with their humanity, and with their absolutely endless will for continue to live. On this note, I wanted to offer another moment of silence to honor our dear, dear heroes after which we will listen last piece of music by Julian Lambert. On this note, I will thank BBS again for this wonderful opportunity, very special opportunity for my extra edition to acknowledge incredible event. And I will continue next Tuesday with my regular program. And on this note, I will express my profound gratitude to our heroes, to their families, and also will hope that our crown of the world will have that much more respect for United States, and we will join it with all our forces. Thank you for listening. I'm your Lena Life. Goodbye. Thank you.